Well, it means that people are divided and they're different and they get separated. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But our reading says that there shouldn't be divisions among people. We shouldn't be divided into separate groups. We should all be one group. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul says this: I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. See, Paul's telling us that we're supposed to agree in what we say. We're supposed to agree even in how we think and in our purpose for life as believers in Christ. The problem is, most people only think of how we're divided, how we're separated. It's hard to think of how people can be united into one group. It's easier to think of what makes us different. So, like, boys and girls, and your age, nationalities, like where you're from, even your religions. A lot of people think of things what divide us. And so it's kind of like what I got in my grocery sack here. I got fig and honey Triscuits. Those are yummy, by the way, if you've never had them. Gluten-free honey corn bread. That's actually pretty yummy. Chicken and herb dumpling soup. Fresh-cut whole kernel corn. What else do I got? Oh, I got a go-go squeeze. I got fruit snacks. What else? I got banana chips. I love banana chips, especially dipped in chocolate. Okay. And I got a Jell-O mix. So, how would you divide these things up? Like, what kind of groups could you put them in? Okay. Cans, boxes, and bags. Is there any other way we could divide it up? Any ideas? Flavors? Okay. Yeah. Any other ideas? Anybody? You could do by color. Yep. So there's lots of ways to divide it out, right? To get it divided into separate groups. But do you see what would make them all one group? What do you think? Their food? True. Any other ways that can make them all one group? Yep, all edible, all food. What else? There's one other real big way. They're all tasty. True. You assume. Well, yeah, no, they are all tasty. So I did a good job picking this stuff out then. Well, there's one other way. They're all groceries, right? Because they all come from one store. They all go in one bag, and they all go to one house. And they're all going back to my house today. So don't. We'll see which one I make later. Or Jazz. We'll make Jazz make it. But all right, let's get back to people. So we talked about ways that people are divided, but Paul told us something more important. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that we are divided right now from Christ because of sin. Sin separates us into groups. But what he says there is the authority of Christ brings us back. It forgives those separations. It unites us into a group. And so through Christ, we're able to see the most important thing about all people. Every person was made by God. Everyone is loved by God. God made each of us. And Christ died for every person who's going to believe in him. That all brings us together. And that unites us in a church. So you look out here and you see all sorts of different people. And they all, you know what's really neat is not a single one of them is a copy of anybody else in the history of the world. You are the only one the world will ever have of you. And yet, God says we're all one group because of what Jesus Christ did. And we all go out and try to do what he calls us to when we're believers. But the first part is, you've got to follow Jesus for that. And so you got to make sure you do that. You guys understand that? Does it make sense? Okay, good. And all the people said, all right, have fun, guys. Oh, yeah, that's from working on Mrs. Evans' house. No, that was a screwdriver, actually. Takes the blame off me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service.
I was pretty sneaky, Matt. I was like, who's praying today? And then I just hear it booming out like God. All right, well, here we are. Still working through our fruit of the Spirit. And today we get into faithfulness. Now, that's part of one of the old worship songs, you know, faithfulness, faithfulness. What I long for. But here's the thing about faithfulness. As we get into this, you're going to see that faithfulness is one of those fruits that can really push us out of our comfort zones. And everybody has their comfort zone, don't you? Some people it's like this. Some people it's like this. But everybody's got one. And God uses faithfulness to push us outside of that, which everyone's really excited about, right? You all love being pushed outside your comfort zone, don't you? What, not a single amen? Yes, if you're not honest in the church, you will be struck down right where you're at. So before we get into this, it causes me to ask the question, are we ready and willing to be pushed that way? Are you ready and willing to be pushed outside that comfort zone? I can't help but think of our brother Matt back there, who has consistently over several years been pushed farther and farther and farther outside of his comfort zone and his roles here at the church. But are we willing? I mean, it's a challenge. Are we willing to take it to heart to know that our response to the challenge of faithfulness will impact the church and our families for generations? Have you thought about that? Your service to Christ, your faithfulness to what he calls you to, is going to impact the church and your family for generations. How many of you remember how faithful grandma was, or grandpa, or uncle? It goes down through the generations. Maybe you remember how faithful they weren't. But it impacts. And so it is a challenge for us. So let's do what any good preacher would do, right? Any good preacher would then say, well, we got to define this whole thing. And so we want to define what is faithfulness. Well, the King James translates it faith. But really, what it boils down to is being trustworthy and reliable. That I am trustworthy and reliable. Being loyal. Some definitions add loyalty to this list. So that you're loyal, trustworthy, and reliable. Now show your hands. How many of you would love to be known as being loyal, trustworthy, and reliable? Just seeing who doesn't have their hands up, we're going to be having a special prayer over you later. People want to be seen as trustworthy, reliable, and being loyal. Well, Webster says it this way, steadfast in affection or allegiance, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, given with strong assurance. Being faithful. It's the word in Luke 16 that is describing the faithful servant. Luke 16, chapter 10 through 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy, faithful, reliable in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Do you know what he's talking about there? True riches? Your retirement, your savings, whatever, matters nothing. The true riches he's talking about are what you're going to be entrusted with in heaven for eternity. So right now, everything you have is the little things. And I know you look at things in your life and go, sure doesn't feel like a little thing. But in the scope of the scope of the scope of the scope of the infinite eternity, you are dealing with little things. You will have a job and responsibilities forever. And so he says, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? This can be applied to so many different things for us. I heard one preacher say that earth is really just the testing grounds, the proving grounds for heaven. So it can do with a lot of things, but really, the case is being made, are we being trustworthy with the gospel? Am I being trustworthy with sharing Christ with the world? And in this world, I couldn't help but think there is only one way I'm able to fulfill my faithfulness to Christ. And we get that out of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, the young preacher. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, here's the key part, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. So where do we get the ability to be faithful in the world that we're in? Strength from God, strength from Christ, strength from the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Otherwise, I'm going to beat you down here for a second. We fail. I fail following Christ if I'm not filled with the Spirit. Who's going to withstand the barrage that you take? And think about the next 2 months. No matter what your favorite shows are or whatever you might watch on TV, guess what all the commercials are going to be? Because you're going to start seeing Christmas commercials. They're going to be starting before Halloween. And you're going to be bombarded with things. Bombarded to be taken away. But it is Christ who gave me strength. It can also be translated as Christ who has empowered me. And it was because God counted Paul as faithful. And so God appointed him to his service. Christ is the only way. Think about Paul's life. Most people who spend any regular amount of time in church think of Paul as that great missionary spiritual giant, right? I mean, if there was like an actual Hall of Fame here on earth, there'd be like that giant bronze statue of Paul. How did Paul endure being stoned, endure being shipwrecked, endure being in prison? Remember, when he was in prison in Rome, don't forget, he had to pay his own way for his own imprisonment. He had to rent a house and pay for it himself and feed himself and take care of himself for 2 years. How do you think he endured all of that? How do you think he endured giving up everything he had ever followed and served to turn and follow Christ? He did it by what he said right here. Because of the strength given me through Jesus Christ. And so if it's a part of Christ, it needs to be a part of us. Because have you thought about this? Faithfulness is a character of God. It's a characteristic. He is always faithful to his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 said, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Paul is writing the church in Corinth, telling them God is faithful. Now, he's not telling them God is faithful. Don't worry. You're going to have all the money you need and all the stuff you need. That's not what he's saying. He is reassuring them of God's faithfulness for eternity. He is reassuring them that the faith that they have put and the hope they have in Christ is not going to end, that God is not going to change, that his attributes never change. His promises never end. And so he's telling the church in Corinth, don't worry, God is faithful. He is faithful forever. His grace is forever. All we have to do is believe, have faith ourselves. He goes on to write the church in Corinth in chapter 10, and he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, to extrapolate this out a little farther, Paul is telling the church in Corinth, he is faithful forever and he is faithful to you here. He will give you what you need to endure what you have to endure. That's his promise. Not just the temptations. He says, hey, you're going to have what you need to overcome your temptations. I know none of us have any temptations we have to struggle with, so we're all set. We're all good there. But for all those heathens out there, God gives us what we need to overcome those temptations. He gives us what we need to stand up, what we have to stand up under here on this earth. Well, it's also a descriptive character of Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, Christ is called the faithful witness. Catch this. And from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Christ was a reliable witness to God's kingdom and salvation. To the point of suffering death at the hands of sinners, at the hands of the state, at the hands of the religious establishment. So it's to be an encouragement to all of his servants, but also the challenge that we are expected to be reliable, to be faithful, to be trustworthy. And if you go on to Revelation chapter 2, which we're going to look at here in a second, to be trustworthy even to death. So if this is a part of the character of God and the character of Christ, then guess what needs to be a part of us? Faithfulness needs to be a part of anyone who follows Jesus Christ. It describes our character. Revelation 2:10. This is John writing to the churches here. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. See, the testing here is going to show where the believer's true loyalty and faith lies. Now, let me give you a little understanding of what he's writing here. See, in Rome, prison worked a little different. And I'm not just talking about how brutal it was. We won't get into all that. No, the legal system part of it. See, here, you end up being taken into prison when you are charged with a crime, right? You go to prison, and then if it's not too bad of a crime, the judge will let you post bail. Maybe you can get out for a little bit. But in Rome, it was the precursor to your trial and execution. And so why he's telling them, be faithful even unto death, is because as you get imprisoned, you're not getting imprisoned to go to trial and presumed innocent. You're getting imprisoned to head towards your execution, to head towards your punishment. And so he's telling them, as you're in prison, you know that you're heading towards death. You need to be faithful even unto death. Now, I couldn't help but think the question, are we willing to be faithful to the point of death? Now, I'm going to put a spin on it because I think God gave me this spin last night when I was going over my message. I added it last night. So, not just the point of physical death. Are we willing to be faithful to the death of a lot of different things? Not just your body, but your job, your status, your friendships. Are you willing to be faithful to the point of death of all of those things that maybe matter to you here on earth? Not just them killing, because I would guess that most people would stand up and say, I'll be faithful. You go ahead, question me and shoot me right then. But sometimes it's a harder challenge to say, I'm willing to be faithful to the point of losing my job. I'm willing to be faithful to the point of losing my house. I'm willing to be faithful to the point of giving up the status that I may have, the friendships, the relationships, who knows what. Are we willing to be faithful to that? So faithfulness needs to be what describes us. It needs to be a virtue that we gain. It grows. So if I'm a new believer, it's not expected that I will have the same faithfulness of a giant like Paul at the end of his life. The strength grows. As you exercise and you work those muscles, the muscles grow over time. how you exercise 5 years later is totally different than how you do when you start. It's something that we gain. But it doesn't change that it calls us to stay true to Him no matter what we face. And this can be very difficult when we face criticism. And you live in a world that even though we are in the greatest country in the world, you are going to continually see increasing challenges to standing for Christ. To be difficult when we face the persecution. To be difficult when we face the persecution that takes away our freedom. We have a hard time contemplating losing our religious freedom here. But guess what? Most of the church and the rest of the world does not have religious freedom. And you know where the biggest, most explosive church is in the world? China. And now Russia. And the Chinese church are sending missionaries to the United States. And they're praying for the church here to undergo persecution so that we can see the growth of the Spirit. It can be difficult facing that persecution. But guess what? This is the blunt side of me. It don't matter. Because God calls us to be loyal, trustworthy, reliable, and faithful to Him. Through all things, in all things, so that we can be trusted with many things in heaven. The hardest thing for us in America to do is to get our eyes off the treasures of earth and get our eyes on the treasures in heaven. Because there's so many things here that can distract us. And yet God's saying, don't be focused on the junk here. I mean, you think your iPad's cool, just wait. Wait till you get here. Because when we accomplish that here, when we accomplish being faithful here, when we accomplish being trustworthy and reliable, then we will be given incredible responsibilities. And the more we show here, the more responsibilities God will give us here. The more responsibilities to say, you know what? You did a great job witnessing to one of your best friends. I'm going to increase your responsibilities to share more with others. I'm going to increase your responsibilities here. And as you do more and more with what He gives you here, He's going to give you more and more when you get there. It's hard. God's been really working on me a lot over the last few months of not being focused on the things of this earth. Be content with what I've given you. Be prepared for what I've got for you. It's not about here. All of you have probably heard about Pompeii and Mount Vesuvius, right? When it blew up and wiped out the town. As they excavated Pompeii after millennia later, they finally found it. There were people buried in the ruins, and they found people in cellars who were apparently seeking shelter from the eruption. They found people up in the upper floors and on the roofs. They found people everywhere in Pompeii. But then they discovered something. Standing at the city gate, there was a Roman sentinel who had been placed there by his captain. And when they found him, he was still standing at the city gate, grasping his weapon. He was still standing his post while the ashes flew down, while the rocks were flying through the air, while the town was being buried, while the ground is shaking, the Roman sentinel is standing at the gate because that was where he was placed. He was faithful And he was found in that exact position 1,000 years later. Are we going to be seen as that? Will we be found standing guard for Christ no matter what comes our way? Will people look back and go, man, that person reminds me of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? If you don't know about Bonhoeffer's story, he was about a day short of being freed from the Nazi camps when he was executed. You know what he did the day before he was executed? He conducted a worship service because he was a pastor. Will we be found standing guard strongly for Christ to the end? When I am called home, will he tell me he found me faithful till the last breath? Let's pray. Father, this is a really challenging trait, characteristic. And yet you tell us that when we truly seek after you, when we truly are your disciple, that faithfulness will become a fruit that blossoms. And it is not easy. And so I ask that you help us through the pain and the struggles and the difficulties that come with growing our faithfulness, with growing our reliability, with growing our trustworthiness to you, that is what happens. You see us grow, that others see that fruit blossom in our lives, that you will help us to be found faithful when you call us home. Because I know, Lord, that if Paul needed your strength to be found faithful, then I definitely need it. So go with all of us here and help us to live a life so that people see us as being faithful, that we are faithful to you in all the little things, so that we can be faithful to you in all the big things. And help us to keep our eyes not focused on the treasures and the things here of this earth, but on you and what you have for us for eternity. I thank you for the people here, and I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And I ask that you go with them today with a special blessing, a special touch. And that if there's anyone here who needs a prompting to either come to a saving grace of you, or whether there's anyone here who says, I have not lived a life that is faithful, but I want to, that you would just create the opportunities for all of us to gather around them and walk them towards you. We thank you that we can do this on your strength and not our own, and help our lives to glorify you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.